100 Word Stories.
Good morning, everyone. This is Lawrence Simon of the 100 Word Stories podcast at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. Not dead yet. It's Sunday, therefore, weekly challenge, where I post the topic and you come up with the story. The topic for the day is lemon. Try to say it just like that. You can't. I bet you can't. Nobody can. Not even me. Play it again. There. Okay, I did it. Maybe I should share the stories that you came up with, put them in here, and then we all can, you know... Okay, so I got the shock mount for the Yeti microphone, and I've got it mounted right here, and the thing broke, and I tried to tighten it down because the Yeti weighs too much for the shock mount. The little... Never mind. Who cares? You don't want to know. You want to hear stories. So do I. So here's John Musico to save you from whatever I'm rambling about.
Return to Goose Island by John Musico. Sunday, 5 a.m. I remember that summer at Goose Island. Monday, 2 a.m. I remember that summer at Goose Island. I've typed those few opening words for my novel for what feels like forever. Just as obvious this is a bad start, I am rigidly convinced, to the point of obsession, this novel will be a winner, and so I hold my guns. I remember that summer at Goose Island. If I can just get over this hump, fame and glory will be mine. Then it came to me. I can't remember that summer at Goose Island.
I know what you did last summer at Goose Island. Thanks, John Musico. And no, I don't remember what you did either. This is why you should keep a diary, take photos, or blog. You know who's someone who doesn't take photos, tweet, or any of that stuff? The man who puts everything into his writing. That's right. It's Jeffrey Fisher. Jeffrey Fisher, the writer. And here he is.
Hello, everyone. It's Jeffrey Fisher here with my stories for this week's challenge on the topic of lemon. My first story is called Cruel Fortune. When life gives you lemons, make lemonade. Good advice, right? Only I got a whole lot of smelly durian. I made durianade and opened a stand in front of my parents' house. Cars would stop, a well-meaning adult would head toward my stand with a big smile, intending to reward a child for his entrepreneurial reach. Then the adult would get a whiff of the durian and leave, usually mumbling something about not having any change. Then I realized I misunderstood the old adage. Dumping the durianade in an open grate in the street, a day later the sewage department sent a crew to investigate the stench, I walked to Jason's house, whereupon I hit him twice, took his lemonade, and set up shop again. My second story is called Lost in Translation. When Robert Plant sang, "Squeeze me, baby, till the juice runs down my leg," I sang along with him. Like many rock lyrics, I had no idea what it meant. My preteen self assuming that all the words conveyed deep meaning, while my teen self assumed all nonsense lyrics were written under the influence. My parents, hearing the racket coming from my cheap stereo, couldn't understand the lyrics and wanted to hear as little as possible of the noise their son called music. Unfortunately, my own voice, while not particularly on key, was very clear. I found myself singing the lemon song to myself while sitting down for dinner. The shocked expression on my father's face was almost enough to make up for the loss of my stereo for a month. And that's it for me for this week. I will be back next week.
Thank you, Jeffrey. I now have a whole different view of lemons. Hopefully I don't have any lemon in my coffee. Yep, this morning it's that goes Cafe Expressions Vanilla. No Baileys in it. No, that'll be for later. Like when I need to go to the grocery store. Oh God, I need to get drunk for that. Let's see, who else? Who else? Serendipity? Sure. Okay. Serendipity's got a story for us. We just got a whole bunch this week. I guess people really like lemons. I hope so. If you don't like lemons, this would be a hate-filled podcast. We don't want hate. Just yet. Here's Serendipity for you. I know you've been waiting.
Disposal of bodies isn't as easy as fiction suggests. If you're not particularly strong, manhandling a corpse into a car isn't an option. Even if I could, there are limited locations suitable for a shallow grave. I'm not into dismembering, and my building skills aren't up to making concrete boots or hiding corpses behind cavity walls. So it has to be the old standby, the acid bath. Unfortunately, even that's not as easy as it seems. The strongest acid I can find, in any quantity, is lemon juice. At least, if it doesn't dissolve the body, it'll be nicely marinated.
Thank you, Serendipity. Oh man, I've been going through my Amazon wish list, making reminders to myself, hey, I should get that clock. I should get that. I found some adhesive numbers and hands that I could put on an HDTV and then have the HDTV play in a loop, some kind of, I don't know, slideshow or something, or maybe movie of waves, ocean waves, or maybe the 10-hour loop of that zebra going det-det-det-det-det-det-det in the background. That would really suck. That'd be kind of fun, though. What would you put behind the numbers of your clock on an HDTV when it's HD? Maybe I could find a cheap HDTV and do that and experiment with. That could be fun. I'm not going to mess with the one I use as a spare monitor. I don't want to ruin that. I don't want to get sticky crap on it. Ugh. Gross. What? Oh, yeah. There's a story in the show notes that I only got the text for that comes right at this point. So thank you, Tara Lynn. It's called a microphone. One person who does know how to record, though, is Lizzie. Now, she knows where a microphone is. And this is what happens when you add microphone to Lizzie. You get... Whoa, I hit the pop filter. That will guarantee a pop.
He wasn't much of a drinker, so when they told him, bite on this, his dormant urges became overwhelming. When the party was over, he roamed the streets, hiding in the shadows to calm the demon within. As he got home, he rushed to the computer and browsed unrelated sites for hours. However, it was hopeless. By morning, he had 10 lemon cheesecakes, 7 lemon tarts, 1 lemon pudding, and a large number of mutant lemon squares that practically announced the end of the world. The whole building stank of lemon. The neighbors complained. Once again, Lemon Man was back. With this very silly story, I invite you to drop by my blog at lizziegoodcuff.blogspot.com and talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Lizzie. And we will see you next week. Damn it. We will see you all next week. More next week. So many more that I will need to get a second microphone? Hard drive? Store? I don't know. Just, I'll have to get a second of something. Second bot. Oh, right. We have Sing coming up next. Whew, okay. Ah, coffee's cold by now. By the time it gets cold and you have all that flavor in it and all, it tastes like hot, not hot chalk. I don't know what word I'll, never mind. Sing, just tell the story. I've run out of ideas.
Foreign Madam and the White Yogi, a verse novel in progress by Chris Mooney Singh, Chapter 23 continued. In the last installment, Yogi, Madam, and a busload of children visited the rather paltry hilltop remains of ancient Hastinapur, the kingdom associated with the epic poem the Mahabharata. Now, down below, they are about to debouch from their charter bus and enter Jambudweep, a modern Jain religious temple complex on the same lands, sharing very ancient history as well with the place. Jambudweep, in Hindu, Buddhist and Jain cosmology, is located in the middle part of the universe, where humans reside, a would-be heaven on earth. It bears the name of the magical Jambu or Jarman fruit tree growing at its center. This episode begins with the children discovering a real Jarman tree outside the gates. "Look, a Jarman tree," Chauhan alerted, alighting from his cream car and crossing to the bus bay outside Jambudweep. "A big one there." His message was meant for Yogi, and he pointed, but Kuldeep Singh, off the bus, overheard and was first to fly, running toward birds and bees in love with clumps of dangling purple. So many had fallen, ready, sweet and astringent. A Jarman tree and children like each other. Soon, infected, others were quickly chasing for their share of contraband. "They just can't go," said Margot to Prakriti. "Bring them back." "Jimanam," and conscripted her Rajinda. The converts to the tribe of purple tongues were rounded up to face their madam's music, but the number of inky digits was too funny. "Those jumbo fruit, the Jarmans, have fingerprinted you forever. The guards won't let you in." Looking up at the jumbo emblem marble gates to heaven, Kumaro translated, sucking out all the truth. "You cannot steal the Jarmans. It's not allowed. You've given the school and madam a bad name." The children were confused between her smile and Kumara's nasty scowl. Finally, Atul, knowing his madam better, opened a fist holding three fat jubes. "Madam, for you." Her mouth received the stolen goods with pleasure. "It's healthy for the lady's cycle," Chauhan blurted, adding on quickly. "Gout also, good for sugar problem." To stop embarrassment, he stepped gateward. "Cello, Yogiji, we should go in." "All right, Chauhan," he answered. His arm was being hard yanked. "We'll wait outside," he yelled to Margot, still embroiled with kids. Deeply angry, they were a good excuse for not following wifely when she could lead. After all, the kids were off the leash before this lolly shop of the Jaina cosmos, Jambudweep with a Jarman tree at its center. The Jarman's sweet and sour reminded her of backyard fruit trees in the Adelaide Hills. She missed the weeding, plucking winter lemons, Packham pears and woody apples in their prime. She remembered Paul and Adele shrouding themselves like Casper the Ghost between the strung-up bedsheets. Yogi was wandering into his marble cosmos, yet she was still an earthbound mum with a job to shepherd them through the so-called gates of heaven. Kumara ordered the children double file, Prakriti ogled, and Rajinda at the back. "Chup karo," Madam told her brood. "Be quiet, kids, and we will have some fun." An ornate marble playground, the Jain universe of big fairground attractions, buildings, bridges, boat ride, lawns and lotus temples, 30 scrupulous acres managed with acumen, India's merchant elite, a salute to Jain know-how. No primal sculpture story, no end of the concert bang, paneled halls, life episodes, kings renouncing thrones, carved friezes, gilt-edged paintings, worldly duties concluded, shedding cotton loincloths to seek forest moksha. Human end, divine start, 24 Tirthankaras, elevated siddhas, buddhas, the invisible Jain deities worshipped with coconuts sculpted in lotus pose, standing bolt upright, naked, children giggling and pointing at their marble genitalia. A gondola ride around the universe, upon the circular moat of Jambudweep. Foreign Margot was glad to play wet nurse to her Jarman thieves. "The water isn't deep," said Atul, perched proud beside his madam. Three flat-bottomed boats skimmed 360 degrees, a convoy of innocents far too young to fathom any old Hindu or Jain cosmologies. Meanwhile, Chauhan led Yogi up the tower, a pinkish marble Meru, cosmic mystique, 101 feet high, the banister guiding hands inside to the Parvat peak. Inside, three Tirthankaras in lotus bliss. Below, Jain world, on earth, a marble kiss. Rajinda was sent to find the elephant rides. "May I go also, madam?" asked Prakriti. Madam refused, sensing sure romance and trouble ahead, Mr. Vulture's marriage. "We should see now, Herak Jayanti Express," said Mr. Kumara. This was a first for him, no sour lemon or jamun attitude in good mood despite his scheming mind. He took them to the steam train, chugging nowhere. Each carriage housed its paintings, dioramas. Jambudweep Theatre had daily screenings telling of the 16 Tirthankar birthplaces and Sri Gyan Mata's saintly woman story. Rajinda returned. "Plaster elephant ride!" One was waiting, pulled along by a tractor. "Now where's Yogi?" Atul, the sparrowhawk, her aerial perspicacious eyes replied. "In there," pointing to a marble structure. "Teen Lok Rachna, madam, I read the sign." It seemed a pink ocean liner balanced on its stern in three-tiered marble segments. "Let's go and see what's cooking in there." "And madam, madam, elephant ride, please," chorused the others. So she split the group under Mr. Kumara, taking away the others. They navigated pavements past the sculpted woman drinking fountain and Dhyan Mandir, an echo grass-roofed dome for meditation, until they entered ground floor, Teen Lok Rachna. Three lokas, worlds, below, between, above. An elevator round trip, 10 rupees. Starting in hell, green ghouls, shit brown demons, torturers wielding clubs among the tortured pot-bellied devils in miniature, leering on. The next button, push for Madhyalok, a carnival coloured here, a middle world, among the wish-fulfilling Jarmun trees, toy gods, kings, people, tigers, birds. Level 3 to gold throne Siddha souls, then highest Tirthankaras in a lotus cup. Godsmacked kids thought this the ultimate doll shop of all play dreams, perhaps. Prakriti gasped, concerned for her romantic future. Yogi and Chauhan had looked and left. "Shall we take tea, Yogi?" asked Chauhan, nodding ahead to Kumara, herding kids to and from the tractor elephant. "They will know to find us at the tea stall." "What about Margot? We can't just up and leave," said Yogi. "We brought them here." It was the first time he'd given her a thought. "Don't worry," coaxed the Garamuk Teshwara man. "The children are playing," Yogi wasn't certain, but felt tired with so many temples still waiting. I never thought of Hastinapur quite like this. A seat of warriors, now the seat of saints. From the age of Holocaust to non-violence. Chauhan walked him through the ornate gate, the metal jumbu wired green above. They weave through blaring buses, car horns, scooters to a waiting fruit box tea stall opposite. The teawala pumped his kerosene stove to jet heat hard-boiled, sickly, milky chai. Yogi looked out for Margo and the kids, still riding the elephant tractor and a demon train. Chauhan was talking about some future plan with he and Barhai. But Yogi was distracted. He glanced across the road to Jambu Dweep. Why did he feel that he had missed his chance? Then he saw Margo looking. She didn't wave.
Thank you. Sing. Wonder what's going to come next. Come on, Margo, wave! Wave, damn it! Oh, sorry. I just saw on Twitter, or whatever, Tony Gerber, a.k.a. Cypress Rosewood, posted up a sound sample, Planetary Canyon. Just go to soundcloud.com/Tony Gerber. I'd put up a link, but that would involve... Here, I'll just retweet it. There is myself. There, now you can find it somewhere in the wreckage of madness that I post up there. I may use it. I might ask him to if I could use it as a background sound. I could use some background sounds at some point. To say, hey, can I get all spacey in the background? And maybe even do up a new theme. Yeah, that one that I've had to start off, you know, 100 word stories. God, that's so dull. I used to have some exciting ones. Whatever happened to God David? I know that he does stories here and there, but when I hit my elbow, can you, is that jostling the microphone? See, the problem is I've got it on a boom, but this microphone is so heavy that it leans and ends up leaning into the table. I'm trying to push it back, and it sort of, kind of, I'm not sure. Oh, well, hopefully it isolates the sound a little bit better than just sitting it on the table where you hear me drumming my fingers or clicking my mouse. But what you can hear, though, right now is Tom. I don't know what he's got. I know he's got a bunch of stories. Does he have updates? Let's find out. Although we don't look forward to him for updates, we look forward to him for his stories. Just like you don't look forward to this pod from the Mad Rambles. You're here for the stories. I just play the damn thing.
Hello, night people. Tom here, and I've got updates. Story total, 6,124. Story average, 18.79. A new Iron Monkey, Cliff. Iron Movement. Zachman passes Guy David with 126 stories in a row. Closing in on Iron Serendipity with 96 stories in a row. Movement. Julie enters the top 70, one behind founding author Beck. Spate passes Logan Berry, Brad, and B into the 54th place, with 17 stories, two away from entering the top 50. And finally, Serendipity passes Beauchamp's into the 19th position, a mere story away from Golden Monkey status. Tura passes young Danny Dwyer, moving into the 15th place. Justin the Space Turtle pulls ahead of Guy David, thus regaining the 8th place with 166 stories. Your humble scribe is no longer shadowing Zachman. I am now shadowing Thomas. But the story of note this week is, according to my parchments, Phil hits the 300th story mark. All hail Phil. And I have four, count them, four stories tonight. The first story tonight, Lemon Tree. Ever wonder why the lemon gets such a bad rap in the Trini Lopez song? Well, so did I. So I filed a Freedom of Information Act petition. 10 years later, I found out the following. The song was commissioned on behest of Orville Lothrop Freedom, Kennedy's Secretary of Agriculture. He had Will Holt insert the line, "Poor lemon is impossible to eat," on the behest of Thomas E. Wilson of the Wilson Packing Plant, a major stockholder and a member of the Interlocking Directorate of the United Fruit Company. Company memorandas point to an active program of lemon misinformation. Story 2, The Uncola. I was never much a cola fan. I preferred lemon lime. Drank 7-Up by the case. Didn't care for Sprite. Just like the folks who can distinguish the subtle differences between Pepsi and Coke, I found Sprite to be a little bit too sugary. Or it might have been the cocaine they dumped into the syrup. Nothing says marketing share like addictive opiates. Coke had a stockpile of cocaine left over from 1903. Won't find it listed on the label. The Coca-Cola senator makes sure of that. Stop doing 7-Up. Now I do Minute Maid lemonade. Just can't escape Coca-Cola. Story 3. Meadowlark Lemon. What the man could do with a basketball was amazing. Got to see him at the end of his career. But a real showman. Pumped 3 half-court shots in a row. No net. He played more than 16,000 games for the Globetrotters and was inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame in 2003. He lives about 3 miles from my parents' house in Arizona. My dad says he drops by the local VFW, but never saw him drink anything stronger than a ginger ale. Works with teens through his ministry, still going strong at 81. And the last story, a continuation of a well-defined relationship, part 31. "Bannister, what's the story on Dino Matt over here?" asked the doctor. Bannister swung his head back, but kept a tight hand on the wheel. "Little busy up here. We have a sizable problem." Over the bow, an edge of yellow rose and rose and rose. It was straight ahead and getting closer. "Oh, hell," cried the doctor. "That's the great Owen's lemon. During the drought of 27, a mom from Patterson prayed for rain. What they got was a billion-ton floating lemon that rained lemon juice." "Over or under?" yelled Bannister. "Up," replied the doctor. Up they went.
Thank you, Tom. Hey, someone was asking about you in the tweets, at Rick Wolf. You may want to put a note saying, "Hi, I'm Tom," in the comments of Weekly Challenge 402, just to thwart and frustrate him. If folks want people to track them down, you send a link along with your story, and then I put it up in the show notes, and then they can go to your About Me or your Twitter or your website or feed or most importantly, where you have your treasure trove of stories. And if you don't have a link, well, it's like, "I don't want people to be able to find me. I am the J.D. Salinger of microfiction," which of course I'm not. But thank you, Tom. I should have just said thank you. God, that's good coffee. Okay, so I'm probably going to get the cafe vanilla, the cafe caramel, even though it barely tastes like coffee. Okay, so I add milk to it anyway, and it all tastes all right. But there's just the Kona. Oh, my God. I put that in the roll-your-own one. I call them roll-your-own. I know. Fill your own, grind your own. Oh, that's so good. All right. No wonder why I'm wired all the time and can't sleep. Ooh, I finally did sleepy time tea. I know the tea bags are cheap, and you can just put them in the mug and then run the hot water and let it steep. What kind of idiot are you? But there are times when even that is too much effort. But still. Good stuff. So let's have a listen here to Cliff. Yes, Cliff. He's early this week. Or just everybody else is freaking late.
100-word stories. Take 18. They called it the life-emulating machine, online. The idea was to feed in data about your life, your hopes, and your abilities. Basically, this website could simulate your life. When it was wrong, you corrected it, and it learned. Eventually, it would know the user so well, it could offer advice on schools, careers, even love lives got the lemon touch. Eventually, there was no topic on which the lemon didn't advise. The church was happy when the lemon started encouraging more spirituality among its users. That is, until they realized that there was a new god on the block. And here's my second story for the topic of lemon. 2 days after I drove it off the lot, the windshield cracked. The used car salesman said that it wasn't covered. The faulty gas gauge wasn't covered either. In the next month, the locks stopped locking, the fuel pump stopped pumping, and the pistons stopped, well, they stopped working too. None of it covered. I brandished the paperwork and asked what a ULT warranty was supposed to be. The salesman told me that ULT stood for Unlimited Lifetime. I told him that I assumed that ULT stood for Under the Lemon Tree, because that's where this car came from.
I don't know where that car came from, but hey, how much are you selling it for? Thank you, Cliff. How many takes was that? Oh, man. When I get to that point, I just delete the story and I go with the next one. Because it's like, yeah, I'm never going to be able to read it. And no, I'm not going to resort to like some computer reading it for me. Not to denigrate those who use computers to read it for you. But in my case, no, I'm not going to do that anymore. Because I'm lazy, I admit. Whoa. Okay, I'm looking at my inbox. I cannot believe this. After how many years gone out there in the frozen tundra of Tundraland, Tundraville, he's back. You didn't see this one coming, did you? Yes, the great return of Ellison, or Eli's son, or however you want to pronounce it. He has returned. He has finally made his selection in the cheese aisle and come to the register. And he's probably thinking, why don't you just shut up and play the... Okay, I will play the story. Welcome back, man. Here's your story.
Hi there, this is Ellison, and welcome to the 100 Word Stories podcast. The topic of this week's challenge is lemon. Miles Davis wanted a new sound. Kind of Blue was a classic, and he had recently taken steps into electronica with his landmark, A Tribute to Jack Johnson. But there was so much more he wanted to do. How, he wondered silently. As he lay awake in bed, an unbidden memory of an old Our Gang comedy short came to him. In a flash, he knew just what to do. 2 weeks later, the group was in the studio to record Bitches Brew, with one extra. Kid, here's a quarter. When I start playing, you start sucking on this lemon.
Oh, how I've missed that music and those mellifluous storytelling tones. Oh, wait, the robot just told me it's 9. Okay, should I hurry up? No, I'm going to take my sweet time. Sweet and sour, like a lemon. Thank you, Allison, and welcome back, and may the colander never fall from your head. Unless, of course, you need to, you know, go to the barber or shampoo or something. Then, of course, you can take it off and put it on an appropriate stand, receptacle, I'm not sure. Can you use a hat stand for colanders? Because really, hat stands are for hats, but then you can put your jacket on them, or your belt, or your pants, or whatever. Hang a side of beef on it if you want. I've gone off the deep end, haven't I? So now to swim back to the shallow end, and let us splash around happily, and enjoy the camaraderie of our friend Spate. Yes, Spate. You knew it was coming. Yes, it is time for Spate. Spate o'clock, if you wish to designate the time. 9 o'clock? Spate o'clock. Remember that. 8 o'clock is a mint or a coffee or something like that. But it's Spate o'clock right now. Can you hear the chimes?
Hey, this is Spate. My story this week is called Fruit Salad. And here it is. Auntie Rita always said, when life hands you lemons, and it will, dear, don't frown, look around. We're all on a steady diet of fruit here. And lemons are not so bad. Be grateful it's not a gangrene grapefruit, or a wormy apple, or not fruit at all, but a vegetable, like kale. Have you ever seen anyone handed kumquats, perchance? Pomegranates? Or even one persimmon? Never! Are your grapes being delivered peeled? Certainly not! And nobody, nobody is given a bowl of cherries. So, dear, just suck on your lemon because only the top monkeys get any bananas here.
Music provided by Audionautix.com. No monkeys were harmed in the writing of this story.
What? No monkeys were harmed? Ugh, that makes me so angry. I want to punch a monkey. Oh, wait. Sorry. That's just a pop-up window from the good old days of... What? You're not listening? Okay, fine. Thank you, Spate. Spate o'clock is over. The last chime has chimed. All right, that's uncomfortable. I probably should just stop making stupid puns and move on with the show. Like with Zach Man. Yes, he's next. Are you ready? Do you have your Zach Man safety goggles on? I sure do. I can't see a damn thing. Except for Zach Man.
Sheriff Jack Lemon had orders from Mayor Ryan Smith Orange to get rid of Kelly Kumquat, who was putting the squeeze on the good citizens of Citrustown. Jack was a good man, and he was John Law of Citrustown, but people called him Lemon Law. The sheriff took his lemon car to the Citrus Bowl Stadium, where John Lemon was doing a lemonade show for families hit by the early freeze. Jack saw Kumquat in the ticket line, thinking his deputies soon would have gathered enough evidence to put Kelly away for the zest of his life.
The zest of his life? Okay, that one hurt. All right, I'll let Zach Man do all the puns from now on. Thank you, man. Thank you for taking that on. Now I can just read this stuff in the show notes and share with you the stories and then just not try to impress you with my rather pathetic wit. Okay, you know, everything sounds kind of dampened when I have the... I should just put in one earphone. That way I can hear myself. It feels kind of muffled when I do that, now that I don't use a headset, that I use this microphone sitting on the... I should take a photo. That would involve getting up. Instead, what I'm going to do is share with you Julie's story and her story of lemons.
Happy Saturday. Hi, you guys. It's Julie. I'm really late this week. I struggled with the lemon concept, but in any event, here is what I have. It is a 100-word poem called Eleni Recalls Her Lemon Trees. The lemon trees will grow if you are there or no. The gray roots, they twist deep into the acrid soil, steeped deep in your village. The sun, the sea, your yearning to be free. Fragrant memories, sunny, bitter, smiling, sweet tree flowers, the lemon trees have been there before you and will remain when someday you finally fail to return. The nostos, it takes hold each spring, that homecoming preceded by your leave-taking. My restless white-haired mother, she gazes on her stained-glass lemons from the mahogany dining room in the cold winter of New Haven, waiting for her return. Thanks very much, and for all of you who came to celebrate my birthday with me. It was a wonderful evening, and I'm very grateful for your friendship and for your attention, and I will see you next week. Thanks again.
And don't try exchanging that attention for a sweater at the store. They won't accept it. No exchanges, no returns, no deposit necessary. What? Oh, thank you, Julie. And it was a fun, fun, fun time for all. Wait, who's next? Oh, Justin, he's back. Oh, good. Whew. Wait, no, he was here last week. Who wasn't here last week? Many of you. Who is here this week? Those of you who I am dragging and dropping into the window. Who will be here next week? I don't know. We're not there yet. Justin, oh, yeah, right, click there.
Space Turtle! Justin Lemester here from thespaceturtle.com. When I was a kid, I ate a lemon and everyone thought my face was so hilarious. Naturally, I don't remember doing it all. Too young. However, while eating at Local Ocean in Newport, Oregon, my daughter grabbed a lemon off a plate. Now, I would never give her a tart lemon. I'm not a monster, but I wasn't going to stop her. I was too busy turning on the video camera. Now she, unlike me, can see how hilarious she looked. Just remember to experience the moments now and don't miss them because you were too busy recording it.
Thank you, Justin. And thank you, Justin. Thank you, Justin. You know, now that I have a hot air popper, I eat way more popcorn. Although, I did it so that I can make little batches of it and eat less. But I now have it more often. I used to do the olive oil thing on the stove. That made me sick. As opposed to being just generally sick now. You know who's generally sick in the head? No, not Norville Joe. He's completely sane. Here, let me prove it. I'll play his story.
Hello, this is Philip Norville Joe Carroll of NorvilleJoe.com, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 403 with a prompt of lemon. Here's my story. When I got my driver's license, the main family car was a Dodge Monaco station wagon. It was smaller than the Queen Mary, but needed as much space to turn around. The 440 cubic inch block and four barrel carburetor made it jump up and fly when you put your foot down. Since my twin brother and I wanted to go out with our girlfriends, but not with each other, one of us had to drive the 1964 Studebaker Lark. Some people called the Lark a lemon, but it was still running long after the wagon was gone. Thanks for listening, We'll see you next week.
Thank you, Norval Joe, or otherwise known as the January Man. I've been waiting until January to say that. You know the other things I've been waiting to say? I've been waiting to say, here's Danny.
Hello, hello. Danny Dwyer is back. After taking 2 weeks off, and we're here with Weekly Challenge 403, Lemon. In 1988, the now-defunct General Motors division of Pontiac decided to revive the Le Mans nameplate with the rebadged 1986 captive import, the Daewoo Le Mans. As if the classic 1968 version of the Le Mans was not ruined enough with the crappy 1973 and 1978 remakes of the once classic nameplate, they just had to finish it with this pathetic remake. I worked for a rental car company at the time that rented the 1989 Le Mans. The head gaskets on the engines would completely blow in less than 10,000 miles. They should have called this version the Pontiac Lemon. The idiots at Pontiac were only a letter off. Hey, so that's my entry for this week, and if you want to read my stuff, then feel free to go to dannydwyer.wordpress.com and check out my page. Have fun.
Thank you, Danny. Are we done yet? Are we done with the show? There's more stories, aren't there? All right. Let's get to them. We can get there. Just a few more. Muncie. Muncie. Muncie!
Greetings, Wrecking Balls. Muncie here, hitting so hard in love and breaking down your walls, story-wise. No, yeah, this is a month of wrecking ball jokes. This is what's happening. You're going to have to deal with it. Let's do this thing. Lemons by Christopher Monroe. When life gives you lemons, you make lemonade. If you're 5 years old. If you're an adult and life gives you lemons, find salt, tequila, and somebody to share it with body shot style. No, tequila's not for everyone. Some are made ill by the liquor, and many find it bitter. But that doesn't matter in the end, because you have to make the best of what you have in this life, whether you like it or not. And sometimes it will be bitter, because life is sometimes bitter, like a lemon. And when life gives you lemons, you make lemonade. Broken Escalator, ChristopherMonroe.blogspot.com, and tweets at Munzee Munzee. But also, you should be following Dread Singles on Twitter. Nothing to do with this site or story writing. I just laugh and laugh when I read their feed. Dating site ads from a Lovecraftian parallel universe. It wrecks me every time.
Please, no wrecking. No wrecking. This podcast is already enough of a wreck. Okay, a little more wrecking. Thank you, Muncie. The wrecking ball. The ball of wrecking. Is there a wreck? No. Would you like it wrecked? Bring the ball. Bring the wrecking ball. Yes. Deep breath. Get my coffee. That was the last of the coffee. I'm going to go get some more coffee. While you, it's always fresh. If it's a K-cup, it's always fresh. Costs a little more, but then if you don't drink a lot of coffee, it's perfect. Hey, I'd like a cup of coffee every now and then. Hey, this is perfect for it. You don't make a whole pot and then waste a bunch of the pot. I do that a lot. I don't want to waste anymore. I hate waste. Instead of wasting coffee, I want to waste plastic and paper and make a bunch of trash. Because I'm American. That's what we do. We make trash. That's all we do. That's all of us ever do is make trash. Except this isn't trash. This is Tura. Tura is not trash. Tura is quality product, and when you consume it, it's still there. It doesn't become trash. Writing is green.
Whenever I get home, I take a lemon and bite into it, hard. The neural simulators always get better, but they still can't reproduce that intensity. It's a way of reassuring myself I'm back in base reality. I was out of lemons. At the local shop, I found a citrus fruit I'd never seen before, lemon yellow, with knobbly green-tinted protrusions. "Take one," said the shopkeeper. "New variety. Very intense." I bit into it. When my eyes cleared from the sledgehammer blow, I woke up, surrounded by blue-skinned humanoids, waving their ears excitedly. "Great to be back," I said, waving mine.
"I'll have to think about that. Thank you, Tora. Is that it? Are we done? No, we have one more. One more. And you know who it is? I'm sure you know who it is. I know who it is. Do you know who it is? I know. Yes, that's who it is. Okay, let's fire up a little music to go in the background and listen to Planet Z.
I remember going to see the Harlem Globetrotters when I was little. That was when they had Metal Arc Lemon, Curly Neal, and Sweet Lou Dunbar. Curly was the bald guy who was an incredible dribbler. I have no idea who's on the team these days. Heck, I have no idea who's on any basketball team now. I'm from the Michael Jordan and Charles Barkley era. Players like Shaq and Yao Ming are newcomers to me, and they're retired already. Maybe this is good. Instead of following the players, I can just enjoy the competition. Or the clownery of the Globetrotters.
Hey, take 3 steps back. You're at the fence. You're at the fence at the end of the show. End of the 100 Word Stories podcast. Weekly challenge number 403 on the topic of lemon. Did you like it? Yes? No? You think you can make it better? Come on, join in and raise the bar. Or lower the bar, or turn the bar sideways, or wave the bar around like a crazy man. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being a part of this. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's not bullshit. It's genuine. I go through the hoops and effort to rig up this microphone and the pop filter and the straps and the cables for you. And you people out there go through the writing and the skullduggery and the recording and the emailing for you. It's all for you. I'll see you all next week when the topic is not found. It's weekly challenge 404, so had to do it. Took this long just to make that stupid joke. Until then, this is Lawrence Simon signing off, and as always, keep it brief.